beautiful song. As we were driving home from Ohio yesterday evening, and we were just north of Bowling Green a ways, and at that point where you've got kind of a lot of rolling land and so forth, the sun is setting, but got to where the sun was like behind the mountains, and you could see the sun coming up from behind the mountains, a different perspective. And just thought it was how pretty it was. So many times I know I've been driving and and driving west, and the sun is setting, and just thinking, I wish I could just drive fast enough to keep up with the sun. You know, there's something about not wanting to let go of the day and what lies beyond the day, and that all of those things. I think were in the minds of the songwriters. They were penning those things. You know, the sunrise is a beautiful thing to behold, but there's just something about the sunset and the finality of the day and wishing for more, and there is more at the end of this life. So much more, so much glory as depicted by those rays of sun. And the last month or so, we've had several very beautiful sunsets, and just gives us an indication of how beautiful heaven is for us and what awaits us beyond this life. This morning, or this evening, I want to talk about greater things. And, you know, it seems like no matter in life, no matter how much we have, it seems like we always want something better, something greater, something newer, and all of those things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, of wanting something better and desiring something greater. In fact, I think the Word of God encourages us to strive for better and greater things, but not in a temporal sense. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, Jesus said concerning the man who, of course, had worked his farm all of his life and finally got the bumper crop that he had been working for. And he says, what am I going to do? I don't have enough barns to store all of this in. I'm going to have to tear these barns down, build bigger barns. And when I get all that done, then I can take my ease and just enjoy life from here on out. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build my barns. I'm going to build greater barns. And I'll store my crops and all of my goods. But you remember that God said to him, you're a fool. This night your soul will be required of you. And then, who will these things belong to? All that he had worked for, he wasn't going to reap the benefit of. And all that he had worked for had taken him away from the most important thing. He'd focus his attention in the wrong place. He'd focus his attention on temporal things rather than intemporal, spiritual things. And 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18 says of Christians, we do not look at the things that are seen, the temporal things. We look at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our focus is not on the here and now only. Our focus might be on the here and now, but it's focused on the here and now in view of the hereafter. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Notice this morning. We'll notice it a couple times tonight. It says, if ye then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Our focus needs to be on the hereafter, on the things above, not on the things that are here and now only, but as we said, in view of the hereafter is how we view the things of the here and now. What are some greater things that we can have as we set our affections and our mind on things above and our desire for greater things, what are some of those greater things that we can have? Well, I believe that we can have greater faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "But also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." We're to add to our faith. And so we have faith. To become a Christian, you have to have faith. But now to Christians, he says, add to your faith. Have greater faith. Have a bigger faith. We will not have greater faith until we have total faith in Christ. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8 we read, "Yet indeed I also count all these things that he had accomplished in his life." Paul's talking about how that he was a Jew of Jews and studied at the feet of the greatest of their generation and had gained great notoriety among the Jews and so forth. He says, "I count all these things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." To have greater faith, we must empty ourselves of ourselves and completely fill ourselves with the desire to honor and glorify our Savior who died for us. Matthew 16 and verses 24 through 25, Jesus said to his disciple, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." I know that as we read that sometimes, we would think, well, is this some kind of a riddle or something? How can you lose your life and find it? And if you find your life, you lose it. Yeah, if we focus on the here and now, and that's all we focus on, like that farmer who had his great crops and so forth, he got his crops, but he lost his life. He had lost his soul because his focus was in the wrong place. But whosoever loses his life for my sake, like Paul, had suffered the loss of all things so that he might gain Christ. He had lost his life, but he found Christ and lived for Christ. And in living for Christ to the glory of God, he actually found his life. That's the whole purpose of man, is to revere God and to keep his commandments. To put God first, to glorify God in the life that we live, as we live this life of faith, of trusting and obeying Him. We can have greater vision or greater virtue. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5 again, it says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue means excellence. Strive for excellence in your faith. Not just have faith, but have excellent faith. Do you have that vision of striving for excellence in your faith? Because without it, we'll never gain it. We won't get a greater faith unless we desire greater faith and desire to practice an excellent faith. As God has revealed the word of faith to us, our practice of faith needs to be just as excellent. John 1 and verse 50, Jesus said, "Because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, you believe? You will see greater things than this." Indeed, we have seen great things in seeing Christ and salvation in Christ. We have seen greater things than Nathanael saw already. Through the eye of faith, we have seen the greater things that he was talking to him about. We have seen those. But our faith, in the practice of our faith, we've seen greater things. We've not only seen the promises, but we've seen the fulfillment of the promises in our life. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." I've always been amazed at this verse and wondered how small is my faith. That the things that I dream about, the things that I think about, the things that I'm striving for, am I striving big enough? Am I thinking big enough? Because God is able to do not only above what I ask or think, He's able to do abundantly above what I ask or think. And not only abundantly above what I ask or think, but exceedingly abundantly above what I ask or think. I just wonder how much have we tied the hands of God because we haven't been thinking as big as God is and what God can do. That we have limited God because of our fear of repercussion from people that we know need to hear the gospel, but we're afraid to share the gospel with them because they might not like us anymore. And that might very well be. How many times did we see that happen with the apostles as they journeyed from one town to another town and talked from one person to another person? That sometimes nearly an entire city rejected them. And what did they do? Did they sit around and were discouraged and in despair and disheartened because people didn't receive the gospel? No, they shook the dust off of their garments and off of their feet and said, "We're not taking anything of yours with us. What's yours is yours. We're moving on to the next town. You won't listen to us, other people will." And yet, because we're afraid people won't listen to us, a lot of people can't listen to us because we don't say anything. We don't stand up and be counted for Christ. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't limit God by what you think or by what you ask. We can have greater knowledge. Again, we come back to 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, and it says, "Add to your virtue knowledge." Well, we had to have knowledge to have faith, didn't we? But as we realize that we are to add to our faith this vision of excellence, that we're not going to add to our faith if we add what we think or what we feel to it. It's going to take knowing more about the Word of faith to grow in faith and to grow in knowledge. There's more to know about God than we know about Him. As we're babes in Christ, we need to then go on and mature. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, we are told to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why would Peter say grow in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if you couldn't grow in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are we growing in knowledge of Him? And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, as we grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and who He is and who He would have us to be, then that's how we also grow in grace with Him too, in favor with Him. That our fellowship with Him grows closer and tighter as we continue in the knowledge of the things that He has revealed to us, and more importantly, in the practice of them. We grow in knowledge, of course, by studying His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we are told to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I realize, as you realize, that this was written to an individual. It was written to the evangelist Timothy, and he's told to study and be diligent. to present himself approved to God. But if the way to be approved to God is to be diligent in presenting ourselves to him, if that was true for Timothy, why wouldn't that be true for every Christian? You see, I'm afraid that as Christians, we just take our Christianity for granted. We make the mistake that the Jews made. I'm a child of God, and I'm an Israelite. I was born into the family of God, and they took their heritage for granted. I believe sometimes we as Christians act the same way. I'm born into the family of God. I've been born again by the blood of Christ and the Word of God. And we certainly don't believe or teach once saved, always saved, but sometimes we act that way. Because I'm a child of God, I can compromise my faith. I don't have to grow in faith. I don't have to grow in excellence. I don't have to grow in not. Yes, we do. And it takes diligence. And part of that diligence is study. King James Version here reads, study to present yourself approved unto God. The New King James, better translation, be diligent. But part of that diligence, you and I realize, is going to be studying and then practicing what we study. We also grow in knowledge by experience. You realize it in life that there's two ways to learn. You can learn by reading and studying. I know I was with, this is several years ago, got in the van with Matt and Renee and the girls and Debbie, and I don't know where we were going, but he had some new thing or something, and he says, I don't understand how that works. And I said, well, you got the instruction book? He says, yeah. I said, well, give it here. So I got it, and I read the paragraph from him to him. He says, oh, okay. I said, yeah, you know, if you can read, you can learn a lot of things. You know, of course, being a high school principal or an elementary principal, he got a chuckle out of that. You know, if you can read, you can learn anything. And that's true with the Word of God, too. If you can read, you can learn. So there's one way to learn, is by reading and studying and contemplating. But another way to learn is by experience. And the Word of God teaches that also. Hebrews 5 and verse 14 says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Because what we read and what we study is the summation of that is faith. There's an element of I don't know to that, isn't there? I've never seen Jesus. I did not see him go to the cross. I didn't see any miracles that he performed. I didn't see him rise from the dead. I cannot see heaven or hell. There's an element of trusting. There's an element of trusting. You might say, well, I understand how that reveals in the big picture, how that there's a lot of things that I don't know, and I can't really use those things except I can only see them through the eye of faith. But what about ask believing and you will receive? Do you know how that works? I can answer the question. I said, well, it works by the providence of God. That God has promised never to leave us or to forsake us, and that he'll hear and answer our prayers when we ask in accordance with his will for the purpose of glorifying him. I can explain all of that until it comes to I see the answer in my life. And I say, and then you step back and you say, wow, this really works. God really does hear. And he really does answer prayer. And he really does care about me, me personally. Out of all of the millions of people that live on the planet right now, God cares about what's going on in my life and what cares about what's going on in your life right now. And he cares whether we're living to his glory or not, whether we're growing in him, whether we're keeping the faith and honoring him by so doing. So we use his word in our life. We don't just study it for the sake of knowing, of academically knowing what he says. We study it so that we can use it. And when we use it, our senses are exercised. They're enlightened. They're fulfilled. And we know that he means what he says, and he does what he says. When we use his word, our knowledge of him and his love for us is increased 1,000-fold. And then we understand that, well, if that's true, then certainly everything else that he said is true too. And all of those things about who Jesus of Nazareth was and what he did and where he is and where he would have us to be, all of that's true too. We know it because we've used his word in our life and we've seen it answered. We can have greater work. You know, we talked about, well, there's knowledge and there's experience and using his word, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or think. But are we working like that? We need to have greater work. John 14 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." Now, when you read that and you say, well, let's think about what Jesus did. Jesus made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He made the dead to rise. How could you do anything greater than that? And you know what Jesus is really saying here is that, you know, that's not all so great. I mean, it's great, but it's not all so great. What did Jesus do? Jesus died to pay the price for our sins. And say, how can you do anything greater than that? Because people need to hear about what Jesus did. People need to hear about who Jesus is and what his death meant to them, to each and every one. People need to hear about who God is. They need to hear about the fact that they can not only be sorry for their sin, but they can turn from their sin and be completely forgiven of their sin and grow in God and be what God created them to be. Jesus identified those people who believe and trust and obey as the church, the saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said, "I will build my church." And you cannot build a structure without a foundation, and Jesus laid the foundation. But have you ever seen a foundation that didn't have a building on it? Kind of pitiful, isn't it? Jesus even talked about that. This guy began to build, but he wasn't able to finish. Jesus wants to finish what he began. And the only way he can do that is if we continue the work. Greater works you shall do. You build upon it. What, as you look at a building, you look at a house, you look at a business building, skyscraper, whatever, do you look at that and do you think, wow, what a foundation? Well, you might think about that. I mean, if you think long enough, you might think, wow, it takes quite a foundation to build a skyscraper on it. Yeah, and it does. But that's not what people think about first off. The first thing they think about is the skyscraper. The first thing that they think about is the house. That's what Jesus is saying. He's not saying that the foundation isn't great. You can't have the building, you know, without the foundation, the building's going to fall to pieces. That's what he taught in the parable of the two builders, right? We know what Jesus did. Do we know our part? Not just to be a block in the building, but to be a builder on the foundation. To put more blocks in the building around us. Greater works we can do. It's a work that is fulfilled by service. Matthew 23 and verse 11 says, "He who is greatest among you shall be your servant." Whether we are servants of God or servants of one another, the way to be greatest in the kingdom is not to be a preacher or an elder or a Bible class teacher per se, but as you are a preacher and an elder or a deacon, a Bible class teacher, just a member of the congregation, you consider yourself a servant of God, a servant of your brothers and sisters in Christ, in whatever capacity. Not to be served, but to serve God and each other. It is a work that we do by labor. In James 2 and verse 18, someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works." What's he saying? Faith has to work. It's one thing to say you have faith, but it's another thing to let your works speak on behalf of your faith. We know how very true that is. We have to put what we say we believe into action. Let it be seen. Let it be seen to be consistent with what the Word of God teaches us a Christian is to be. We can have greater love. Greater love for one another, for God. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, he says, "Now abides faith, hope, love. These three, and the greatest of these is love." You see, when what we have faith in is seen, and what we have hope in is seen, then we will no longer walk by faith. We won't have to trust that Jesus is the Son of God. We'll know. We'll see Him as He is. We won't have to hope to go to heaven. We'll be there. We'll be there. We won't be walking by faith or living in hope. Those things will pass away when our faith and our hope is fulfilled. But love's going to remain because God is love from everlasting to everlasting. The greatest of these is love. Galatians 5 and verse 6, "In Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. What avails anything is faith working through love. A sincere interest in the welfare of others, the primary other being God, with a sincere interest in living to the glory of God, we work the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. That's what he's saying. Greater love. A desire to love God more leads to greater works. And the desire to have those greater works necessitates a greater knowledge and a pursuit of excellence and greater faith. How can we obtain these greater things? You know, it's one thing to talk about them. It's another thing to say, well, how do we obtain them? Well, we're not on our own. God says, I'll help you. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, you are of God, little children. You have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And sometimes we read that and we say, well, how is God in me? And you know how God is in you, don't you? We've talked about it several times from John chapter 14. That if we love him and keep his commandments, Jesus said, my Father and I will come and make our abode in them. If God's word is in us and we're keeping his will, and that's our desire, and we're staying true to that desire, we have overcome the evil in our life and in the world. Because he's greater than he who is in the world. In Philippians 2 and verse 13, it said this way, God works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. How does God work in us? Through his word. We allow his word into our life. We think about it. We contemplate it. We believe it. We trust it. We obey it. That's exactly what he wants us to do. We have a will to do it. And when we do it, it's God working in us. God works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure, to his praise, to his honor, to his glory. Psalm 23 and verse 3. Very familiar with this psalm, aren't we? Remember what the psalmist said? He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not for my salvation. I think sometimes we think about, well, I need to walk in the path of righteousness so I'll be saved. And you do. But at some point, we come to the realization that it's really not about us. It's to his praise. It's to his honor. It's to his glory. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because when I practice his righteousness, I didn't think it up. It's not my righteousness. It's his works of righteousness. It's his word of righteousness that I'm practicing that produces the works of righteousness. And so it's to his glory. It's for his name's sake. We obtain these greater things with God's help and with our dedication. Again, we come back to Colossians 3 and verses 1 through 4 now. It says, if you then are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, and not only on the things on the earth. For you died. You and your will and your dreams and your thoughts, and you died. And your life of sin is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul said, it's no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. Christ, who is our life. We're living for him, to his praise, to his honor, to his glory. And when he appears, we will be with him in glory. So it takes our dedication to indeed be dead to ourselves and dead to our sin and dead to pursuing the things of this earth and to be alive to seeking those things and meditating on those things that are above, those things that are beyond the sunset. Greater things. A greater love for God will lead to greater work. A greater knowledge of His work that He would have us to be doing. A greater pursuit of excellence in the faith that He has revealed in His Word. Are you in pursuit of these greater things? Are you in pursuit of those things that are beyond the sunset? Trying to chase the sun to the glory that lies beyond? Are you chasing the Son of God to the glory that is with Him? If not, why not? Why not start living for Him tonight? Be dead to yourself and alive to Christ. If you're here tonight as a child of God, you realize you're out of favor with Him because you haven't been pursuing these greater things. Haven't dedicated yourself enough, perhaps. Can we pray with you and for you? If you're subject to the invitation tonight, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.